Executive Leadership Podcast, where our goal is to help you increase your reputation as a leader, increase your ability to influence others, and increase your ability to fully engage your team to deliver remarkable results. I'm Perry Holly, John Maxwell, facilitator and coach.
And I'm Chris Cody, Vice President with the John Maxwell Company. Welcome and thank you for joining.
Chris, the title of this episode is, I Know You're Busy, but busy doing what? And I have to tell you, I've taken a worldwide survey, and I can report conclusively that everybody I know and everyone they know is busy. Everybody's busy. My question is, busy doing what?
My wife asks me that question all the time as well, but I concur with your findings. I think absolutely all of us are busy. No matter what your role is as a leader, as an individual contributor, I think we're all busy. Unfortunately, I think where the disconnect is between the word being busy or busy and being productive.
Yeah.
I think that those are two things. And I think today I love your title and your thought here, because I think what we got to make sure is that we may feel really busy, and some people enjoy that and it may feel good to them. But if we're not producing, if we're not at a level three, we're not producing ourselves and then in and through our teams, the outcome is not going to be what we want it to be. You know, we talk all the time. We can't just sit around and sing kumbaya at level two. We've got to be productive. And so we got to really focus on what that looks like. You know, when you asked this question of me, some of the dangers that came to mind of being busy versus productive were this. I think as you become a multitasker, right, and you don't necessarily focus, you get distracted, you will procrastinate, you will do other things, and it will take you away from what you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, I find myself doing this too. If I have a big old list of things to do, I'm going to take the least path of resistance and just start marking off. I like to see things crossed off that list, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I'll look back and I'll be like, man, that was just a bunch of busy work, but I took the least path of resistance in doing that. And I think if you get too many things on your to-do list and it just becomes kind of what you do, that's going to become important to you, and you're just going to repeat that every day. You're going to be like, how big can I make this list? And I want to begin to cross it off. So you're going to lose focus, and you're going to lose the ability to be productive.
Yeah, I always think of the urgent versus important quadrant. That little bottom right that's not important, not urgent, not important. But that's where we go and we do those to-do list things that just look easy. What can I do? No, that's too important. No, that's too big. Yeah. I can do that. I come home from my work. My wife said, how was your day? I had a great day. Did you get a lot? I got a lot done. She said, any of it matter? Nothing. Not a thing. It was all trivial stuff to do that. I actually feel like as a leader, this busy, productive dichotomy here is really troubling, because I could make it about me. Am I being productive? But then I look around my team and they're focused on being busy. It's almost like a merit badge. Did you get that done this
That's
week?
Right.
Why were you late for that call? Why didn't you show up? Why did you not do that prospecting? I was busy. And that's where I came up with the busy doing what was my question, because I don't think we're doing the right things. And I was just in, gave a speech in Norway last month and a half ago. And I was watching the news there, and they're putting in a referendum to try to take the work week from 40 hours to 30 hours a week would be the official work week. And I think they look at us and think how sad it is for you people that can't get your job done in 30 hours. It takes you 60 to do that, and that how they must look at us. But when you think about a leader helping their, not just themselves, but their team to produce more and not just be busy, where are your thoughts going on that?
I think it's a great question, because I think oftentimes it's funny when you just made a comment about your team looks busy. And I know as leaders, we're like, oh yeah, we're busy, right? And oftentimes, all the time, we judge ourselves by our intent of being productive. At times, we judge our team by the actions that we see of thinking that they're busy. And so a result of that is that our team will act busy or do busy things to look busy, but they're really not being productive. And so one of the things that we do around the John Maxwell Company, and it's something that John has taught us, and I know that even Corey Baker, one of our executive coaches and facilitator, teaches on this and has shared some examples on it, to where you have a conversation with your team, which is this. It doesn't matter what's on this list, but I want you to create a list of everything you are doing. And then let's come talk about it. And so what you need to do is challenge your team to say, put everything on this list. And then we're going to get together and we're going to have a conversation about what is aligned with our objectives and where we're going, and what is a producing item versus a busy item. Because something that they may think is important to me as a leader, or maybe producing, maybe there's not clarity there, they're going to be attacking when I'm going to look at it as busy work.
Right.
And so if you have that conversation, maybe even on a weekly basis, right, it's something that you start and you guys kind of review this together, and you say, hey, here are the top two or three things. Yes, I know that they're going to take the majority of your week or the majority of your day, and you could probably knock out three quarters of the list below that in a half a day, but you don't understand. This is what we need for you. This is the productive side. So I encourage you to have that conversation with your team, is have each one of them create a list of everything, no shame here, right, of what they're doing, and then review it with them and help them reprioritize and organize that so that it's a productive movement. It's creating momentum for the team.
So you're really talking about priorities, but not just your priorities, helping them with their priorities,
yeah,
and what they're working on. I worked for a CEO once, and he just called it MITs, what are your most important tasks?
Yeah.
But he did it for the quarter that we're in, but he said, what are the top four things you're working on in the quarter? But every Monday, my time was 4 p.m., and every Monday at 4, I had a 30-minute call. Every part of the senior leadership team had a call with him on Monday to review, what did you do last week on those MITs, and what are you going to do this week on those MITs?
Yeah.
And when I first got that, I thought, this is silly. And then I realized what focus he was putting on. Either of the 1,000 things I could be doing, what are the four? Maybe five,
yeah,
probably three,
yeah,
that I should be doing. Yeah. What are you working on to move your MITs, your most important task for this week? And it caused me, when I'm sitting at my desk going, boy, those pencils sure need sharpening, because that's busy.
Yeah.
What are you doing that's making a difference in where you're going?
Least path of resistance sometimes, yeah, you know, that we'll do that, especially when we're tired or worn out, right? You're going to be like, I'm just going to do this. I'm marked off the list. Brian Tracy wrote a book, Eat That Frog.
Yeah.
You remember that
yeah,
book?
Yeah.
I think it was based off a Mark Twain quote that says, if your job is to eat a frog, do it first thing in the morning. If your job is to eat two frogs, make sure you eat the biggest one first, right? And I think that that we as leaders need to help our team, right, identify which are the frogs that we need them to attack, and which ones are the biggest ones to go through that,
right,
and help them with their priorities. I know I've heard you teach a lesson to a client, the importance of boundaries and priorities. And tell our audience a little bit about that.
Well, the boundaries I got, that's Henry Cloud, Dr. Henry Cloud. If you haven't read his work, I highly recommend it. He started with just boundaries, but he realized that it's boundaries in marriage, boundaries in leadership. So he has a boundary for leaders. And so I was struggling with so busy, so many things to do, that I started looking at my house where I live. I have a fence around my backyard. Now, we've downsized, it's a small yard, but it's fenced. And so everything inside that fence is my responsibility. The care for the grass, the watering of the plants, the picking up after the pet, whatever, that's mine. But 1 centimeter outside that fence, I don't even look over there. I don't know what's over there, because there's a boundary there that where my responsibility stops. And I started thinking, in my work, it is like the Wild West of the United States with wide open, no fences, no boundaries, yeah, everything's in play. And what you learn, we all have learned, that if everything's important, nothing's important. And I was trying to do everything.
Yeah.
So what Dr. Cloud would teach was that if the situation, I love this, because he said, where you are today, if you're really happy, everything is going great, and you're being productive and you're producing the results, it's because of two things, what you created and what you allowed.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if things aren't so well, you're out of control, your hair's on fire, nothing's getting done, it's because of two things, what you created and what you allowed.
Yeah.
And so that caused me to start thinking, why don't I have fences in my work like I do at my house?
Yeah.
What are the fences I could put up? I was wondering if you think about that, even for your team, what's an example of a fence that I think leaders do a great service to their team when they help put the fence.
That's
is the boundary.
Right.
If someone, now somebody asked me, they challenged me in front of a workshop one time, so you're saying you would never help your neighbor? Not what I'm saying. However, if I'm spending all my time on my neighbor's yard, yeah, and my wife looks over the fence and sees these weeds in her yard, and, yeah, and dog hadn't been picked up after, and the grass hasn't been watered, there's going to be a problem about why are you busy doing something that's not a priority. Although when my priorities are complete, I love to help my neighbor.
Yeah.
I often help my neighbor.
Yeah.
But that's not my first priority. My boundary is this is what I create, what I allow, then I can allow that. But I have to take care of my yard first, or I'm going to have trouble at home. So
that's right. That's right.
Think about that for your team and, yeah, for us as leaders. Where do we go with that?
Yeah. It's funny when you were saying that, I thought about a illustration that I heard one point in time saying, if your house and your property was up on a hill, it's much better to build a fence around the yard than a hospital at the bottom of the hill. Yeah. And I think about that. I think, man, as leaders, if we get caught up in that busy work without a fence around what's going on, that hospital becomes a non-productive team. And to your point, we're not talking about not having cross-functional influence and supporting teams in different departments, but you got to focus on your boundaries and your priorities first. You speaking of priorities, John, in the 21 Irrefutable Laws, mm-hmm, of Leadership, talks about the law of priorities. And he says, leaders understand that activity is not necessarily accomplishment.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that hurts. Because like you said, we're really busy today. Leaders, we need to understand that leadership is not about comfort. It's about progress. It's about movement. And so we need to know that sometimes being busy is comfortable for us, and it's comfortable for our team, and we need to make sure that we get outside our comfort zone, that they get outside there, and we're challenging them to do that. John says also in this chapter about law of priorities, he says, you cannot maintain your priorities if you fill your life with busyness.
Yeah.
So it's this common theme we have today in this conversation about the difference between priorities and productiveness versus being busy. So
I have a bad habit of going from one thing to the next thing to the next, yeah, thing. And my wife said, you have no margin. I said, what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
You have no you have no space. You're just at one thing to the next. So it's great. So when I think about these priorities and boundaries and things, I have to tell you the biggest excuse when I ask people why they're not handling their priorities is I don't have time.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you're aware of this. I've done another global survey that I stand behind 100% the findings. I've spoken in 47 countries, and I definitely did it there, but I did some Googling on all the other countries of the earth. They all have 24 hours in a day. No one has more time than anyone else.
That's right.
So my question then becomes, we all have the same amount of time. What have you done with yours?
Yeah, how are we using it, right? And I think that maybe even the wording for that is now, instead of I don't have time, it's I didn't take the time.
That's the more honest anyway. Yeah.
I didn't prioritize. I didn't focus. But yeah, it's probably the more honest answer there. So, you know, when I think about this and I think about the fact that we didn't take time and how we should be allocating our time as leaders, that's really what we're getting down to is how should we be allocating our time and focus on as well as our team members. I think, you know, John wrote a book, Good Leaders Ask Great Questions. So I'm a big believer that great leaders ask even better questions, especially of yourself. You know, we talk about self-awareness a lot in leadership, and the hardest person to lead is yourself, and you can't lead yourself until you know yourself. And so I think what you've got to sit down and look at when you're looking at your list of things that you're doing is that you got to ask yourself, what are two or three things that only I can be doing for the organization or only for my team? Like, what are those top two or three? You mentioned maybe four or five, but we're really only going to probably do two or three that only I can be doing for the organization. And when that happens, those things have to be at the top of the list.
Right.
Those are the frogs that you need to be attacking and eating first, because you are the only one that can do that for your organization. And then I would challenge you to say, okay, what's below that list is things that could be given away. John says that if someone can do something 80% as good as you can, give it away. Hmm. And then he goes on and says, because pretty soon they're going to be doing it 85% as good as you, 95%.
Right, right.
And then leaders, be humbled. They're probably going to do it better than you can. And you look at the old Pareto principle and you think about everything that's on your busyness, everything that's on your list right now, it probably aligns with the 80-20 rule, right? So 20% of it is probably only what you can be doing for the organization. And then 80%, the other 80% of what you're doing can be given away to somebody that can do it as 80% as good as you can. So I challenge you to say, hey, what is that list? How do I rank it? And then look at attacking what you and only you can do for the organization.
Right. Well, I know I was blessed to get a book contract. And when I was bragging about it to my people closest to me, they say, when in the world are you going to write a book?
Right.
And I'd had this problem for years. Why aren't you writing? I don't have time. Why aren't you exercising? I don't have time.
Yeah.
Why aren't you reading? I don't have time. And I realized I'm not taking the time, so I put my mind to it. But then I thought, well, where am I going to write this? So I did a little exercise. It seems a little silly, but I took a page out of a day timer. You can also just pick a blank sheet of paper, write 12 midnight at the top and 12 midnight at the bottom, and draw a line across the middle, write 12 noon. And then I started just drawing out in big animal pictures. So work, let's say the work block. I just draw a block from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. It may flex, it may move, but in general, it may expand on some days,
right.
But in general purposes, that's my work day. Between 6 and 10 in the evening, p.m., that's my family time and home and family. So I just put 6 to 10, blocked it off. I'm not a good sleeper, but I know I need to get sleep. So I said, I normally was getting 4 or 5. That's not healthy. So I said, I need to get 7. So I say 7 from 10 to that's 5 a.m. And then I looked at this and what else have I got? I got nothing. What am I looking down at? I've got a big hole between 5 a.m. and 8 a.m. Well, what have I been doing with that? Sleeping in, staying up late, watching movies or playing video games, whatever it is. I said, well, I'm going to change. I'm going to take that 3 hours, and that's when I'm going to write that book. And that's exactly, so I've changed that habit of just finding where are the time, where does it go?
That's right.
Tracking it. And then how could you reallocate what you have? So some people may have a different layout. You may be between 11 p.m. and 1 a.m. may be your block, and you may be on fire at that time. I'm not. I'm ashes, gone, dead
at that time.
But you can do a lot if you just know where the time is and then allocate it, make it a discipline. How am I going to utilize it?
Yeah, John says you can't manage time, right?
Right.
Everybody's like, time management. And he's like, you can't manage it. To your point, everybody in the world has 24 hours. What you can do is exactly what you just laid out for us. How do I manage myself with the time that I have? And so I think that's a great illustration.
My 3-point plan was priorities. What are the 3 most important things I need to do tomorrow? Think about that tonight. Do them early, because by about 11 a.m. my day is out of control. Somebody's always asking me to do something. And then priorities, boundaries, and then where how I allocate the time. So great discussion. Let's wrap it up. And maybe you could take our listeners home with a couple of ideas, maybe something they could try today.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first thing we need to do as leaders is have a little bit of a paradigm shift. I talked a little bit today about the power of asking questions. And I think as leaders, we need to question everything. And we need to understand that we need to question everything that we're doing, that our team is doing, and help them kind of reorganize that. And so when I say a paradigm shift, a lot of leaders don't go down that road to take time to think, literally, and then question kind of where they're at and what is it, right, that only I can do. And so when I think about it, I wanted to give you two action steps, call to action today, and it's what we talked about. For your team, the first one is I want you to have your team bring you that list. If you're listening to this right now and you have a team of people that works for you, I challenge you. It would only take for you is every Monday, 4 o'clock, 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so maybe you begin to put that practice in place, but have them create a list and make sure that you guys are in alignment what they think is productive and you think is productive so that the team is moving together in one direction on that ship. And then for yourself, it goes back to what I just said. What are the 2 or 3 things that only you need to be doing? Take some time and think through that. We have to your point, we have to manage and protect our calendar. I know that one of the things I challenge my team with at times is to schedule think time on the business. Don't be in it. And I do that as well, but my tend to move and shift, and before you know it, I'm adjusting them. But you have to protect your calendar. And just remember, when we say yes to something, we're saying no to something else.
Big lesson.
Mm-hmm. And it is a huge lesson as a leader, especially if you're saying no to something that is a priority or a production area of the organization, of the department. Then we have a gap. We got a misalignment.
You know what I love about that is that most of the things that I battle with, doing or not doing, are not bad things. Right. They're good things.
Right. They're all good things.
Yeah. But by saying, if I say yes to that good thing, my neighbor said, can you help me move furniture on Saturday morning? Yes, I want to help. I want to be a good neighbor, a good friend, and I'm strong. My wife says, we were taking your son to breakfast on Saturday morning. Well, I'll push him off to lunch. And she said, isn't that the way it always goes?
Yeah.
Ouch, that hurt.
Yeah.
Well, if I say yes to moving furniture, which is a nice thing, good thing, I've said no to something else. What is it? Just call it out. I said, no, I need to take the breakfast. Could you move the furniture in the afternoon? Well, sure. Now, I can work around that. But by me just randomly saying yes, I've just validated,
yeah.
I mean, gone against one of my biggest priorities. You know, that's a priority, my
yeah.
son. No,
yeah.
now he didn't think so.
That's right. That's yeah. right. Hey, so, you know, when you're done listening to this lesson, this podcast, I challenge you to send an email out to your team that says, busy doing what, ?
Yeah.
And then have them bring this list.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I was thinking about was when you were giving that illustration, because there is a gap there between maybe what you felt like was important and how you could manage it versus what your son thought was important, is that before you have that meeting with your team, think through the second challenge I gave you, call it action for yourself, which is what are the two or three things that only you can be doing for the organization, and share that with them
mm-hmm.
right after they're done sharing your list, and then ask them, does this make sense? Do you see this? Am I missing something that I should be doing for the organization that only I can do? And have that conversation.
Right, yeah.
And I think it'll be valuable for you and your team.
Fantastic. Well, great stuff. There's so much more on managing time and priorities we could go. But let's stop there. Thank you for the great ideas. Just a reminder to our listeners, if you want to learn more about the five levels of leadership or perhaps have a five levels workshop in your organization, just go to johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. You can leave a comment for us there. You can leave a question for us there. You can provide feedback for us there. We'd love to hear from you. So thank you very much. This is the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast.